بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وكذلك أعثرنا عليهم ليعلموا أن وعد الله حق وأن الساعة لا ريب فيها إذ يتنازعون بينهم أمرهم فقالوا بنوا عليهم بنيانا ربهم أعلم بهم قال الذين غلبوا على أمرهم لنتخذن عليهم مسجدا. We were discussing when one of the youngsters who the Mufassirin have recorded that his name was Tamlikha, he went to purchase halal food. And when the assistant noticed that the currency that he brought was outdated, so he started inquiring. And this person, protecting and concealing his faith under the impression that it was the very same king, Alaysa mulkukum fulan, it is not the very same king that is ruling over you. So notice that he is speaking of things that are outdated, and of course this person was unaware of such things because he was not existing from that time. فَجْتَمَعَ النَّاسُ إِلَيْهِ People gathered around him, and this person threatened him by mentioning, the assistant, that reveal your reality to us, أَوْ لَأَرْفَعَنَّكَ إِلَى الْمَلِكِ or else I will report you to the king. فَجْتَمَعَ النَّاسُ إِلَيْهِ The people gathered around him, and Almighty Allah, on the right time, in the wisdom of Almighty Allah, as we discussed that people were denying the existence after death, when the king arrived there and he realized that this is the reality and this is the youngster that belonged to the Ashab-e-Kahf, when he noticed this, he was very happy and he had understood that Allah has accepted his dua, that Allah must send down one sign to confirm and to explain to people that there is something as life after death. So he was very happy to meet this youngster. And thereafter he gave him a very top treatment, and he mentioned to him that where are the balance of your friends and your companions, I would love to meet them. So this person with the king and a large group of people came to this cave. He mentions to the king that stand one side, let me go inside and let me give them the glad tidings, because if they will notice that you are coming in, they will be under the impression that it is the very same king and you have come to destroy us. So as he goes in and he mentions to them, they all were very happy. فَعْتَنَقَهُمْ And they embraced one after the other. They started embracing this king, because after all he was a Muslim and he was very happy to see them. According to some tafsir, and most of the ulama of the very same opinion, that when this person whose name was Tamlikha, when he came to the cave and he told the king and the other men to wait, and he enters into the cave and he narrates the incident, therein the Almighty Allah, فَقَبَضَ اللَّهُ أَرْوَاحَهُمْ Almighty Allah removed their souls and give them death, so they were not given the opportunity of meeting the king. Most of the tafasir and most of the commentators hold this view, although some are of the opinion that they met. Almighty Allah mentioning the very same thing, وَكَذَلِكَ أَعْثَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ In the very same way did we make their case and the incident known to people. Why? لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ So that man can understand that the promise of Allah is true and that Qiyamah is to come. It is a reality. وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا There isn't a shadow of doubt in the existence of Qiyamah in the final hour. In fact, in Mishkat Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions how suddenly Qiyamah will happen, that the day Qiyamah will happen, the final hour, it will be such. So suddenly it will happen that a man will be in the shop and he will be doing the transaction between him and the owner, the buyer and the seller. They will still be discussing, the money will be on the counter, and suddenly it will be Qiyamah. In other words, if Qiyamah is at 10 o'clock, everything is going to, the Qiyamah, the final hour will commence at 10 o'clock, then prior to that no indications will be given. Of course there are signs in the hadith, اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرِ that the split of the moon is an open sign of Qiyamah. These are signs of Qiyamah. But exactly that day and that time, that at that morning someone will announce that, look here, today 10 o'clock will be Qiyamah, so stay indoors. No, that very same morning also you'll catch your bus at 10 o'clock, you'll catch your bus at 7 o'clock, you'll have your shower and you will be going to job. Someone will be at the businesses, some will be at the factories, some will be at home, some will be schooling. Everything will happen normally, and suddenly it will be Qiyamah. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ إذا السماء انفطرت وإذا الكواكب انتثرت الحاقة ما الحاقة وما أدراك ما الحاقة أزفت الآزفة القارعة ما القارعة وما أدراك ما القارعة All the verses wherein Almighty Allah describes قيامة تمر مر السحاب When you will see the mountains moving like clouds All this will happen suddenly Almighty Allah gave mentions that this very same incident of Ashabi Kahf confirms the reality that these bodies were resting there for 300 years and thereafter Allah gave them souls. Likewise, those bodies that are lying in the grains and the insects are eating on them. The ulama have written in Sharh Aqaid, it is written that there is a fraction from the back that remains in the sand. The balance of the body, the insects feed on them, but there is a certain fraction which we can refer to as the seed of human being. That certain fraction remains there and the insects cannot eat on that and from that very same minute fraction Almighty Allah will give life to that body which we can say as I mentioned is the seed of insan. وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا اللَّهُ عَلُوسِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ عَلِي رَيْتْ إِنْ رُوحُ الْمَعَانِ That لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقْ The promise of Allah is true. That means not only Qiyamah but whatever Allah has promised is a reality. Whether it means the questioning in the grave, whether it means crossing the Sirat, whether it means receiving your book of deeds, your Naam-e A'mal, whether it means hell, whether it means paradise, whatever Allah has mentioned, لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍ وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا and that there isn't a shadow of doubt in the final hour. Almighty Allah mentioning, إِذْ يَتَنَازَعُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَمْرَهُمْ فَقَالُوا بُنُوا عَلَيْهِمْ بُنْيَانَا They started disputing and arguing amongst themselves that to, as a memory, what should we build or what should we do to serve as a memory of these pious servants of Almighty Allah. So some of them said, put up this structure, some of them said, let's do this. And some of them, those who had authority and those who had control over the affairs and who were genuine Muslims, قَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ مَسْجِدًا Those who prevailed over their affairs, then let us surely build a place of worship over them. In other words, we will build a masjid so that tomorrow someone mustn't worship them, so that people can understand that they were also abid and they were not ma'bud. They also used to worship Allah and they are not there to be worshipped. In fact, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in one hadith, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودِ اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدِ Allah's curse came down on a certain nation. Why? They made the graves of their prophets a masjid. They used to prostrate before the prophet. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited this. In Tafsir al-Mazhari, it is written, the author writes, that from this we understand, it is correct to build a masjid near the grave of someone worshipping Allah, but it is not correct to prostrate to the inmate and the dweller of that grave. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited us from prostrating before him, then how is it possible or how is it correct and how will it be lawful for us to prostrate before any wali from the awliya Allah, any friend or any person from the creation of Almighty Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith that if it was permissible for any person to prostrate before any person, لَأَمَرْتُ الْمَرْأَةَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِزَوْجِهَا Then I would have commanded the male to prostrate before, I would have commanded the wife, that is the female, to prostrate before her husband. In one hadith, in Ibn Kathir, in Bidaya wa Nihaya, it is written, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَوْ كَانَ مِنْ قَدَبِهِ إِلَى مَفْرَقِ رَأْسِهِ قَرْحَةٌ تَتَفَجَّرُ بِالْقَيْحِ وَالصَّدِيلِ ثُمَّ اتَّقْبَلَتْهُ فَلَحِسَتْهُ مَا أَدَّتْ حَقَّهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالتَّسْلِيمُ That the right of the husband are so great in the eyes of Almighty Allah that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, I take the oath of that being in whose control is my life, that if there is a sore that from which blood is coming out of us, from the head of the husband right till his feet, his whole body is flowing with blood and pus. فَلَحِسَتْهُ And his wife, concerned regarding her husband, she comes and she licks all that blood and she licks all that pus. مَا أَدَّتْ حَقَّ I take the oath of that being in whose control is my life. Then too she cannot fulfill the right of her husband. So if it was possible and if it was correct for anyone to prostrate before anyone, لَأَمَرْتُ الْمَرْأَةَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِزَوْجِهَا I would have commanded the wife to prostrate before her husband. Anyway, they decided that they will build a masjid قال الذين غلبوا على أمرهم لنتخذن عليهم مسجدا. They decided to build a masjid. Allah mentions Rabbuhum a'lamu bihim. Now after they built the masjid, they decided that they will engrave the names of all these people on the wall here, so that people can remember who these people were and what were their names. Mufti Shafi Saab Rahmatullah Alayhi has written in his tafsir Ma'arif al-Quran, and many of the other Mufassirin also have written, they have recorded their names. It is very difficult to pronounce. The first person's name was Muksalmina. The second one, Tamlikha. The third one, Martunus. The fourth one, Tanunus. The fifth one, Tarinutus. The sixth one, Zunuat. And the seventh one, Ka'as-Tiyunus. Very difficult to pronounce, but the ulama have written very great virtues regarding their names. After all, they were the chosen servants of Almighty Allah. So they decided to write their names and the names of their fathers. And as they were discussing this, one said, no, his name was this, and this was his father's name. They started discussing them. So Almighty Allah, then one of them mentioned, Rabbuhum a'lamu bihim. By Allah knows their names. Why must we sit and argue about the names? The thing that we have to do, let's do it. Rabbuhum a'lamu bihim. And some mufassirina of the opinion that Allah reprimanded them, why are you discussing something which you don't know? Allah knows their names exactly. وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Don't speak of that which you don't know. Anyway, the masjid was built and these names were engraved in the commemoration and in the memory of these chosen servants of Almighty Allah. Now Almighty Allah, addressing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned, سَيَقُولُونَ ثَلَاثَةٌ رَابِعُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ خَمْسَةٌ سَادِسُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ رَجْمًا بِالْغَيْبِ. Some of them will say that there were three and the dog was four. Some will say that the Ashab-e Kahf were three and the dog was the fourth one. Some will say no, they were four and with the dog it was the fifth one. سَيَقُولُونَ ثَلَاثَةٌ رَابِعُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ خَمْسَةٌ. Some will say three and with the dog is the fourth one, and some will say five and with the dog is the sixth one, and some will say seven and with the dog is eight. Allah has mentioned three different groups here who will question and who will prove that, who will ask Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Nabi of Allah, how many were there in that cave? So some will mention, no, there were only three and the fourth one was the dog. And some will mention that there were five and the sixth one was the dog. Now Almighty Allah mentions after these two, those that say three and the dog, with the dog is the fourth one, and those that say five and with the dog is the sixth one, Allah mentions, Rajman bil Ghaim. These are the people that are just taking chances. They have no proof and no evidence of what they are saying. And regarding the other group, وَيَقُولُونَ سَبْعَةٌ وَثَامِنُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ. Those whose opinion was seven and with the dog is eight. Allah did not criticize this rai and this view of this, whereas the previous two rais have been criticized in the Quran. In other words, Almighty Allah mentions that they are taking chances. So we have understood that those that held the view that there were three is incorrect. Those that held the view that there were five is incorrect. Now those that held the view that is seven, Allah doesn't mention that is correct, but Allah doesn't criticize that view. For the very same reason, most of the ulama of the opinion that there were seven. And as I mentioned, that Muawiyah radiallahu anhu says that when I approached that cave, I could not see anything, but I seen seven bodies lying there. So from the ishara to nas, it confirms, from the ishara of this ayat, it confirms that there were seven, and with the dog, it was the eighth one. قُلْ رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ بِعِدَّتِهِمْ مَا يَعْلَمُهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Mention to them, O Nabi of Allah, my Lord knows their figure exactly. In other words, this is not something to discuss. The point that Almighty Allah highlights in the Quran, that is the Qudrat and the might and the power of Allah, that He has the ability to make someone sleep for so long, that people shun the topic away. And that topic is not discussed. The Qudrat and the power of Allah is not recognized. And what is the topic of discussion? How many were there in the grave? How many of them were there in the cave? Which is not attached to the hidayat and the reformation of man. قُلْ رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ بِعِدَّتِهِمْ مَا يَعْلَمُهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Now Almighty Allah teaches Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a great principle, and for the Muslim Ummah at large also. فَلَا تُمَارِ فِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. Therefore, O Nabi of Allah, don't get into controversies with them, concerning them, except on a matter that is clear. وَلَا تَسْتَفْتِ فِيهِمْ أَحَدًا, and don't consult any one of them about the affair of the sleepers, that is Ashab al-Kahf. In other words, if they come and ask you regarding when it happened, where's the cave, how long they slept, what is the reality, how many of them were sleeping, where's the dog, did they die or not, if they died, then where are they buried, who performed the janaza, all unnecessary questions. Like one day someone asked the question, who performed the nikah of Adam alayhi salatu was salam? Now, whoever performed it, Allah knows best. What has that got to do with our iman? For us to prepare the day we will be lowered into the grave, if we know who performed the nikah of Adam alayhi salatu was salam with Hawa alayhi salatu was salam, then it's not going to benefit us in the least, in other words, in our iman and in attaining jannat and eternal bliss and prosperity. So Allah mentions to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if there is a controversial issue, then the Quran teaches us only mention that which is of utmost importance. After that, silence is of paramount importance. Silence is of paramount importance. What has to be mentioned, the mir and the asas and the bunyan, the original facts that can be presented. فَلَا تُمَارِ فِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا وَلَا تَسْتَفْتِ فِيهِمْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. Such a great incident that the Quran speaks about, such a miraculous incident, then too you will find people discussing many other things about it. So the Quran teaching Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how to conduct himself, O Nabi of Allah, when you will narrate this incident to people, then instead of taking the moral of the story and taking the moral of this incident and realizing and recognizing the qudrat of Allah and bringing iman on resurrection after death, which is the bunyad of iman, آمنت بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره من الله تعالى. That I brought iman on Allah, آمنت بالله وملائكته, and all the divine scriptures, وكتبه ورسله, and all the prophets. لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. Islam is such a complete religion that we accept all the prophets as the prophets of Allah. In fact, if we don't accept them, whether it means Isa alayhi salam, that is Jesus, or it means Dawood alayhi salam, or it means Uzair alayhi salam, if we don't accept them, then our faith is incomplete. So on the divine scriptures, on the prophets, وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and on the day of Qiyamah, that is the day of resurrection, وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ, and taqdeer, good and bad, is from Allah, وَالْبَعْثِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ, and resurrection after death. This great incident is there for every person to understand that the day is to dawn upon him, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, that he has to stand in front of Allah and he has to give hisab in front of Allah. Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayhi writes in Ruh al-Ma'ani, عِبَارَةٌ, قِيَامَةٌ, what is قِيَامَةٌ? عِبَارَةٌ عَنْ وَقْتِ بَعْثِ الْخَلَائِقِ لِلْحِسَابِ وَالْجَزَاءِ. It is that day wherein the entire creation will be given life to stand in front of Allah and to give hisab of everything that they did. Billions of people will stand up from the graves, the cemeteries that are throughout the world, and come in front of Almighty Allah and give hisab for everything that they did in this world. So this incident is there. O Nabi of Allah, relate to them this incident. This is a clear and open sign that Qiyamah is existing and it's going to happen. And Allah has the full ability, مَا خَلْقُكُمْ وَلَا بَعْثُكُمْ إِلَّا كَنَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا, to create from Adam alayhi salam till the last person, and then to give death to everyone, and once again to create everyone, to give life to them. Almighty Allah says, for me, it's just like to create one person and to give death to one person. Why? It doesn't mean that if you have to create 10 people, there's more effort. It is only kun and it comes into existence. Almighty Allah concludes and ends the topic and the chapter or the discussion of Ashab al-Kahf at the very same verse. The chapter in the surah does not end, but this particular incident ends here. Thereafter Allah mentions different other things in this particular chapter. But Allah concludes with the people of cave, Ashab al-Kahf, at this very same verse. May Almighty Allah make us among those fortunate people who after listening to this incident, recognize the qudrat of Allah, recognize the power of Allah, recognize the taqat of Almighty Allah, and he make us among those fortunate people who bring iman on ba'ath ba'd al-maut, and realize that whatever has been mentioned in the Quran is a reality, there is no doubt about it. For indeed Almighty Allah commences the Quran with saying, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is that book. This is that book wherein there isn't a shadow of doubt. If anyone doubts it, then there is a weakness and there is a deficiency and there is a flaw in his iman, and there isn't any weakness in the Quran. May Almighty Allah make us among those fortunate people that believe in Qiyamah and believe in the final hour. And may Allah make it that on that day when we stand up, firstly, may Allah make us among those people who are resurrected with the Anbiya and the Shuhada and the Saliheen. And may Allah make us among those people who are granted the certificate of Jannat and the ticket of Jannat without reckoning.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa la taqulanna li shay'in inni fa'ilun dhalika ghadan illa an yasha Allah. واذكر ربك إذا نسيت وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي لأقرب من هذا رشدا ولبثوا في كهفهم 300 سنين وازدادوا 9 قل الله أعلم بما لبثوا له غيب السماوات والأرض أبصر به وأسمع ما لهم من دونه من ولي ولا يشرك في حكمه أحدا واتل ما أوحي إليك من كتاب ربك لا مبدل لكلماته ولن تجد من دونه ملتحدا. Almighty Allah in these verses addressing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ, and do not say that I'm going to do something tomorrow, but if Allah wills. What actually happened was, prior to the revelation of the surah, as I mentioned in the Shan al-Nuzul, that some people came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they inquired from him, O Nabi of Allah, explain to us the reality of the people of the cave, explain to us the reality of the soul, ruh, kulir ruh min amri rabbi, and explain to us the reality of that of Dhulqarnain, who was the ruler who toured the world. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, addressing the delegation that arrived and that came to him, and that you can come to me tomorrow and I will narrate to you the reality of this, with the hope that today Jibreel will descend and I will mention to Jibreel that this is what has transpired. So ask Allah and then you can bring down the wahi to explain what is the reality. Now what actually happened was, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after all, he was bashar, he was insan. So he slipped up by saying insha'Allah, because of which Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam did not come. The next day when these people arrived, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no information, and it brought a lot of grief and sorrow to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart, that Ya Allah, this was the one opportunity that I had, that perhaps these people will accept my message, that they ask me something and I can give them the correct answer, and perhaps they'll take to my religion. But here, unfortunately, I promised them tomorrow and I have no information. The next day, the third day, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells them to come tomorrow. Again they come, no information, and this continues for nothing less than 15 days. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, much perturbed and disturbed, that Ya Allah, what has happened? The disbelievers started passing the rumor that Almighty Allah has made enmity with His servant, Na'udhu Billah, for which Allah mentions in the last juz of the Quran, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَىٰ, that Allah did not leave you in that period, but Allah was making the tarbiyat and Allah was molding His Nabi. We find that the tarbiyat and the upbringing of the Prophet, Almighty Allah has taken the responsibility, and like it is mentioned, حَسَنَاتُ الْأَبْرَارِ سَيِّئَاتُ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ, our condition is such that every day we don't say inshallah hundreds of times, but Allah does not punish us in the least. We tell a person that tomorrow morning I'll meet you at this time. We don't say inshallah. If Allah so wishes, Allah can snatch our soul that night. If Allah so wishes, we can get up, but we are unable to meet that person. Allah does not punish us and Allah does not reprimand us on not saying inshallah. But hasanatul abrar sayyatul muqarrabin. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not an ordinary person. So Almighty Allah, making the tarbiyat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for 15 days there was no wahi and there was no revelation. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, desiring, anxiously awaiting and anticipating the arrival of Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. Thereafter, after 15 days, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam descends with this wahi. These verses, Almighty Allah addressing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا and do not say that tomorrow I will do something. Illa an yasha Allah. But side by side mention inshallah, that is if Allah wills. If Allah wills and it has been written for me, it has been planned for me, it will happen. Of course, we will only mention inshallah when it is a good act, it is a righteous act, or it is something which is mabah, which is jaiz and which is lawful and permissible. For example, a person will not say that inshallah tomorrow I'll meet you at this time and I'll pick you up and we'll take a drive down to Sun City to gamble. No. At that time we will not attribute it to Almighty Allah, because Allah never wills evil and vice for any person. It is your, the element of evil that is within you, and your shaitan, that is the devil, and your nafs and your inside filth that is motivating your spirit to do this evil. It is not because of the will of Almighty Allah. So only when it is something good or it is something permissible, we will mention inshaAllah. We find in the books of hadith, Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned this hadith in his compilation, that on one occasion Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam mentioned, لَأَتُوفَنَّ اللَّيْلَ, that tonight I am going to share the bed with 100 of my wives. He had 100 wives according to the narration of Muslim Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. From this we can understand also that it is not only Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wherein تَعَدُّدِ azwaj is found, several wives, but this was common in all the prophets of Almighty Allah. And at the same time we can understand the strength and the might that Allah had blessed the Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam with, that Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam says, I'm going to share the bed with 100 of my wives in one night. Allahu Akbar, what must have been the strength of Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam? And he mentions that 100 of my wives are going to conceive and 100 sons are going to be born, and all of them will be mujahid, they will strive in the path of Almighty Allah. But he slipped up to mention inshaAllah. We find what happens the next morning when he gets up with the very same hope that 100 women have conceived and 100 sons are going to be born, and not for any material gain, so that they can be utilized to promote the deen of Almighty Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith that not one wife conceived with the exception of one, but she also had a stillborn. So in the end of the day, not one woman gave birth to a son that could become a mujahid fi sabilillah. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explaining this hadith and giving commentary on this hadith mentions, had Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa sallam said inshaAllah, then Allah's qasam, in that night 100 of those women would have conceived and 100 children would have been, 100 children would have been born, and 100 children would have strove in the path of Almighty Allah. They would have been mujahideen fi sabilillah. But because he slipped up, and Allah in his wisdom knows why he slipped up, at the same time I can mention that in him forgetting to mention inshallah, we have learned one lesson, is the importance of inshallah, that by him slipping up with inshallah, he lost 100 children, and had he mentioned inshallah, Allah would have blessed him with 100 children. Of course, it doesn't mean that every time we share the bed with our wife, if a man mentions inshallah, his wife will conceive. That is in the knowledge of Allah, and that is in the wisdom of Allah. But it clearly indicates the importance of inshallah. So likewise, Allah addressing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah mentions that do not say for anything, I'm going to do it, inni fa'ilun dhalika ghadan illa an yasha Allah. Yes, if Allah wills, it will happen. Why? Because we don't know if till tomorrow, are we going to see tomorrow? The next morning, will we get up? And if we get up, will we have the ability to do what we have promised? The examples are in front of us. It's not something that is far-fetched. We are speaking of current and relevant incidents, that a person makes a deal with someone, he has a meeting with someone, and never mind to meet tomorrow, while he's returning from that meeting and he's going home, there's an accident that takes place, and so many lives are taken. This is happening every day. It's in front of us. So if Allah wills, it will happen. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith, كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرُ السَّبِيلِ, that live in this world as though you are a traveler or you're a wayfarer. In other words, for every day you make preparations. Tomorrow what is going to happen will be seen to tomorrow. It doesn't mean that we mustn't have things systematically attended to and we will not see to tomorrow. No, we will see, but we will place this in the trust of Almighty Allah and in the care of Almighty Allah. إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. And furthermore, Allah mentions واذكر ربك إذا نسيت وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي لأقرب من هذا رشدا. And if perchance you happen to slip up, that you make an agreement with someone, or you make a promise with someone, or a commitment with someone, and you slip up to mention inshallah, then as soon as you recall and you register that you have forgotten to mention inshallah, then tabarrukan, just to take the name of Allah, mention inshallah. Because the name of Allah can only bring good to a person at all times. Illa an yasha Allah. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion Almighty Allah revealed this verse to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioning to him that do not sit with those people who speak ill of Almighty Allah and who mock at the verses of Almighty Allah. وَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانُ فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And if perchance you happen to find yourself in such a gathering and you slip up that you weren't supposed to be here, no sooner do you register and recall, take the name of Allah and move away. We find the very same thing, the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes to eating. Sahaba Ikram was sitting with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one Sahabi was eating and he did not mention the name of Allah, that is Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhirahu, or Bismillahi awwaluhu wa akhiruhu, or Bismillahi fi awwalihi wa akhirihi. All three quotations are recorded in the books of Ahadith. So this Sahabi did not mention the dua, and he was eating in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was about to complete his meal when he recalled that he did not mention the name of Allah. So he mentioned the name of Allah, and after he mentioned it, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started smiling. So Sahaba Ikram, who watched every action of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, what is this, O Nabi of Allah? Adhaka Allahu sinnak, Allah keep you smiling, but why suddenly, O Nabi of Allah? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that I seen the devil spewing everything out after the Sahabi had taken the name of Allah. In other words, prior to taking the name of Allah, the devil was eating with him. The shaitan, the arch enemy of man, was eating with him. No sooner did he take the name of Allah, did the devil vomit everything out. So important is the name of Allah. When we enter into our homes and we say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra al-mawlaji wa khayra al-makhraj, bismillahi walajna wa bismillahi kharajna wa ala Allahi rabbana tawakkalna. Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra al-mawlaj, oh Allah, I ask from you the good of entering into my home, wa khayra al-makhraj, and when departing from my home, the same thing, oh Allah. In the name of Allah do we enter, and in the name of Allah do we leave, wa ala Allahi tawakkalna, and we place our trust on Allah. If a person enters like that, then rahmat and barakat and blessings descend from Almighty Allah. But if a man enters his home, swearing his wife and taking it out on his children without mentioning the name of Allah, then the devil addresses his people and he says, Adraktumul mabita wal asha, we found place to rest tonight and we found some food to eat on. So, what about, how can there be peace and harmony in the couple, or the children and the parents, in that home wherein the devil is resting on our beds, or on that particular plate of food wherein the devil is eating with us? So this is how important it is to take the name of Allah. And this must be the beauty of a Muslim, that wherever he sees anyone also, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Whenever we do any transaction, inshaAllah, mashaAllah, if Allah wills it will happen, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam was in his throne, that throne that Almighty Allah had given him, غُدُوُّهَا شَهْرٌ وَرَوَاحُهَا شَهْرٌ, that he used to cover the distance of 2 months in half a day. 600 people sitting on this throne. Subhanallah, what a magnificent throne. رَبِّ هَبْلِي مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابِ. Allah, bless me with such a kingdom that the thought of such a kingdom mustn't even cross the heart and mind of any person. On one occasion, he commands the wind and he is flying in the air. One person, thrilled and fascinated, obsessed, taken aback at this kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, he says, Subhanallah. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam happens to hear this. He orders the wind to go back to this very same place. This young man, sitting there, a simple person, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam inquires from him, what did you mention? So he thought, perhaps I said something wrong. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam is upset with me. He says, I only said Subhanallah when I seen the kingdom that Allah has endowed and blessed you with. He says, I take the oath of that being in whose control is my life. Your Subhanallah is much more valuable than the entire kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Because my kingdom is meant to perish, and Allah's Qasam, your Subhanallah will never perish. Allah has built and kept reward for you in Jannah for that. What Allah has kept for you in Jannah is eternal, and the kingdom and the treasures of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam is meant to perish. So the name of Allah is the greatest. So whenever we see anything, or whenever we do any transaction, to mention inshaAllah, Abshu Salama Bainakum, and to make salam am. Thereafter, Allah tells Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that mention to these people, وَقُلْ عَسَىٰ أَن يَهْدِيَنِ رَبِّي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا, that I hope from Allah that Almighty Allah will guide me even closer than this to the right cause. In other words, you have made the foundation of my prophethood the explanation of the people of caves. And this is what the intention that you came with, that if this person can explain and relate to you the reality of the people of the cave, then he is a Nabi. And if not, then he is not a Nabi. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that don't make this the foundation of my Nabi. Allah has given me enough of signs, and mention to them, O Nabi of Allah, that Allah will give you many other signs that will confirm that you are the Nabi of Allah. وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَسْتَ مُرْسَلًا قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ, that the disbelievers say that you are not the prophet of Allah. وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَسْتَ مُرْسَلًا, they say that you are not the prophet of Allah, and you are not the messenger of Almighty Allah. So what must you mention to them? قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ, I don't need your evidence and I don't need your proof. Why? Allah has regarded me as his prophet. إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ يَاسِينَ وَالْقُرْآنِ الْحَكِيمِ, Allah takes the oath of the wise Quran. إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, most definitely you are amongst the messengers. So don't base my prophethood on this one particular incident. There are sufficient of signs. In fact, the Quran itself, you are only speaking of the people of the cave. What about the people from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam? The incident of Adam alayhi salam, what transpired between him and Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam, what happened regarding eating from the tree which Allah had made forbidden for him. Likewise of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Yusuf alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the different Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that Allah speaks about. You have made only one incident the foundation, whereas I have narrated several incidents and I was not present at that time, like Allah repeatedly mentions in the Quran. وَمَا كُنْتَ بِجَانِبِ الْغَرْبِيِّ إِذْ قَضَيْنَا, وَمَا كُنْتَ بِجَانِبِ الْغَرْبِيِّ, you were not at that place when we addressed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. مَا كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُهَا أَنَّتَ وَلَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا, what we are mentioning, neither were you informed of it, neither were your companions informed of it. وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يُلْقُونَ أَقْلَامَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ يَكْفُلُ مَرْيَمْ, وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يَخْتَصِمُونَ, you were not present when they were discussing who will attend to the upbringing of Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. But you narrate these incidents to them, so this is a clear-cut sign that you are the Nabi of Allah. Allah mentions, وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ ثَلَاثَ مِئَةٍ سِنِينَ وَازْدَادُوا تِسْعًا, and these people stayed in the cave for 309 years. How long did they rest? The Quran now comes with the final figure, to be precise. 309 years they rested in the cave. This, as people are doubting your prophethood, and it has become a controversial issue. Some say you are, some say you aren't. Likewise, the topic of discussion, current and relevant to the chapter, is that people are questioning how long did they sleep in the cave. The commentators have written the most fuzul and the most in vain thing to sit and extract from this verse is to sit and argue of the exact figure and to ignore that point which the Quran highlights repeatedly is the power of Almighty Allah, and to argue whether it's 301 years or 302 years or 303 years or it's only 300 years, and ignore that point which the Quran emphasizes and highlights. So Almighty Allah mentioning to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the exact figure is 309 years, I am mentioning to you, yet you will find people coming with different opinions and different verdicts. And when they come to you and they tell you that this is the reality, what should you mention to them? قُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثُوا. This is the beauty of the Quran, and it is the beauty of Islam. We attribute everything to Allah. O Nabi of Allah, what must you say? اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثُوا. Tell them that this is what the Quran says. Allah knows best how long they have rested. Don't argue with them. Don't dispute with them. Don't get into controversial and controversies with them. Just mention one statement. Allahu a'lamu bima labithu. Allah knows best how long they were resting. Everything is attributed to Almighty Allah at all times. And He doesn't only know this. Lahu ghaibu samawati wal ard. He knows everything. This, that how long they rested, this is one thing of the many things that Allah possesses. One of the things that is in the knowledge of Almighty Allah. Lahu ghaibu samawati wal ard. He has the knowledge of the unseen of the heavens and the earth. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came in front of Fir'aun, then he mentioned, La yadhillu rabbi wa la yansa. Said, who is my Allah? My Allah is that one who never errs and who never forgets. Subhanallah, in other words, there is nothing that Allah has created in the seven heavens and the seven earth. And wherever Allah has created, that He ever forgot about His creation. It happens to us commonly, it is very common. We purchase an item and we place it in our bedroom in one particular cupboard. And what happens afterwards when we're searching for it, we can't find it. We very well know that it's in that same room and in that very same cupboard, but we can't find it. Why? How weak our intelligence is, and how limited our knowledge is, and how quickly we forget. We find that Almighty Allah has created the seven heavens and the seven earths. How many thousands and billions and millions of creations that Allah has created? He knows best. أَتَّطِ السَّمَاءَ وَحُقَّ لَهَا أَن تَئِطَّ مَا فِيهَا مَوْضِعُ أَرْبَعْ أَصَابِعْ إِلَّا وَمَلَكٌ وَاضِعٌ جَبَهَتَهُ سَاجِدًا لِلَّهِ. In Tirmidhi Sharif, the second volume, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that أَتَّطِ السَّمَاءَ, the sky started squeaking and it has the full right. Why? There isn't even the gap of four fingers, but one angel is prostrating before Allah. So the skies are flooded with so much of the creation of Almighty Allah. Then we find something which is called the Baytul Ma'mur, that 70,000 malaika make tawaf of this Kaaba every day, and no angel has the opportunity of making tawaf for the second time. So all these thousands that Allah has created, Allah is sustaining the animals in the jungle, the millions of lions in the jungle. We know what is the diet of one lion. Subhanallah, Allah is providing and sustaining every creation of His. So how long they rested in the cave, this is something very insignificant, and it is very minute in the treasures of Almighty Allah and in the knowledge of Allah. لَهُ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَعْلَمُ مَسَاقِيلَ الْجِبَالِ. He knows on every mountain how many dust particles there are. Subhanallah, at the beachside, how many dust particles there are, it is in the full knowledge of Allah. يَعْلَمُ مَتَاقِيلَ الْجِبَالِ وَمَكَايِيلَ الْبِحَارِ. How many drops of water there are in the oceans. لَا تُخْفِي عَلَيْهِ سَمَاءٌ سَمَاءً وَلَا أَرْضٌ أَرْضًا. What is happening تَحْتَ الثَّرَى, beneath the earth. What is happening on the skies, everything is in the khazana and in the knowledge of Almighty Allah. Then Allah Himself mentions, أَبْصِرْ بِهِ وَأَسْمِعْ. أَبْصِرْ بِهِ وَأَسْمِعْ. How clearly He sees and how finely He hears everything. Our sight is so weak that if I have to place my hand over my eyes, then I cannot see beyond my hand. So weak is my eyes. How weak is my eyes? That if I place my hand over my eyes and I block my eyes, then I cannot see beyond that. If the man sitting in the next room and speaking, I don't know what he's speaking, I cannot hear. So limited is the ability of hearing that I have. But Allah, the entire world, at one time, it comes in the hadith, مَعَ اِخْتِلَافِ أَلْوَانِهَا وَأَلْسِنَتِهَا. If they have to gather on one platform, all the different nationalities in their different languages, at one time, they turn to Almighty Allah in their different colors, different culture, different languages, different nationalities. Subhanallah, the strength of Allah, the taqat of Allah, the might of Allah, the sama' of Allah, the basar of Allah is so much that if that one time He not only hears and not only comprehends the need and the request of every being, but He has the ability of fulfilling the need of every person and every creation that is gathered and assembled on that particular platform. أَبْصِرْ بِهِ وَأَسْمِعْ. How vast is His sight. Subhanallah, at the grave of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is one angel that Allah has created, and Allah has given him such strength that in any part of the dunya, at any time if anyone sends durood on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while we are mentioning this, I will send durood, and I will request all my listeners who are listening out there to recite the durood at this very same time. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa nabiyyana wa shafi'ana wa habibana wa hadiyana wa murshidana wa maulana Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Anyone recites durood, this angel has the ability that he can hear this clearly, and he conveys this durood to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if this is the strength of one of the creations of Almighty Allah, then what must be the strength of the Creator Himself? أَبْصِرْ بِهِ وَأَسْمِعْ مَا لَهُمْ مِن دُونِهِ مِن وَلِيٍّ وَلَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا. Allah mentions, they have no protector other than Him, nor does He share His command with any person whatsoever. In other words, this is the power of Allah that we discuss, but it is not with the conference or with the guidance or with the mashwara of someone else or with the assistance of someone else. No, all what He does and all which I have just briefly discussed of the power and the might of Allah, it is one Allah, tane tanha, everything happens through His will. Everything happens only and only through the will of Almighty Allah. It is said in Urdu, they say, ke samandar ka dubna zati nahi, churi ka katna zati nahi, aank ka dekna zati nahi, कान का सुनना जाती नहीं, मेरा बोलना जाती नहीं, आपका सुनना जाती नहीं. Whatever is happening, for the knife to cut, it doesn't happen just because it is sharp. No, because the order of Allah is behind it. When the order of Allah was not there, then it could not slaughter Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. The water does not just drown. When the order of Allah was there, then it did not destroy and it did not drown or swallow the army of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. My speaking is because the order of Allah is there. It's not just that I want to speak, a dumb person also wants to speak. But why is it that he cannot speak and I can speak? Why? Because the order and the help and the mercy of my Allah is there, so I am speaking. Out there, my listeners, you are not listening because you want to listen. The deaf man also wants to listen. But why is it that he can't listen and you are listening? Because the Amar of Allah is there with you. His mercy is there and He has enabled you for you to understand. As I'm speaking, you are listening and you are hearing and you are comprehending. The mind is functioning. This whole body that Allah has...